today. We love you. And man, we've had some fantastic preaching here the last couple weeks. No, I wasn't preaching the last couple weeks. That's why I could say that boldly. Pastor Rich preached on Father's Day for us. It's an amazing message. If you didn't get to hear it, you need to go back and hear it. Pastor Patrick last week preached, and he preached on some principles of healing and your heart toward the Lord to receive healing. And I want to tell you, you say, well, I don't need to be healed. Well, hang on. This journey's not over yet. This journey's a battlefield. It ain't heaven. But I want to tell you, we can experience heaven on earth because of Jesus. Amen. And so the Lord loves to heal, and Patrick did an amazing job. Patrick, thank you so much. And so I'm so thankful for our pastors we have here and the ministry that they help a whole lot. I want to tell you, you're a blessed church because of your pastoral team here. And I love them, and I'm thankful for them. And but a few weeks ago, we were doing a series, and it was called Triple Anointing. And I shared with you that, I've been an evangelist, and so when I was traveling and speaking a lot, sometimes churches would say, hey, we're going to have a double anointing night. And I always got kind of tickled about that, you know, and I know what they were referring to out of the Old Testament, Elisha saying to Elijah, I want a double. He was saying to the Lord, I want double anointing, and he got it. He wanted it, he desired it, he asked for it, he got it. I want to tell you, that's powerful in the kingdom of God. What is it you want and what is it you need? But one of the things I would love to point out, and I would not bash any theme night. It was just a privilege to preach the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. In my heart, I knew we have a triple anointing. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that we are filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of the Godhead. Now that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You cannot have more God on the inside of you. If you've received Christ in your spirit, you have the Spirit of Jesus ruling and reigning in your spirit. And I want to tell you, some people tell me, well, it needs to grow. No, it's not a baby Jesus. It's a full-grown Jesus in your spirit, the very Spirit of Christ himself. And I want to tell you, in your spirit, but see, it needs to come, that the full-grown Spirit of Jesus wants to come into your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions, your personality. And that's how that the Word of God will transform us, our mind, reprogram your computer to realize the truth of what you've already got in Jesus on the inside of you. And through the Word of God renewing your mind, you can believe. See, we don't know what we got. Holy Spirit wants to take the Word of God and show us what we got. You already got it. We just don't know how to receive it. This is part of what the journey of faith is to discover all that Jesus did on the cross and went on the cross for us, because it's won. It has been provided. Jesus did a more than enough job on the cross. But what we need to do is discover what he's won for us. You see, the people of God, I want to tell you, the people of God, we suffer, we lack, we're disturbed, we're despondent, we lose, we miss because of lack of knowledge. Now, I'm not just talking about head knowledge here. You know, there's an ingredient there. But what I'm talking about, when the Bible talks about knowledge, it's talking about knowing him. It's a word of intimacy, like Adam knew Eve. Don't make me describe this. But what I'm telling you, there's intimacy with the Lord where we get to know him. And he wants us to know him deeper and deeper and deeper. Isn't that what Paul said? And Paul said that's his goal in life. How do you think he functioned in such wisdom and revelation and power? It's because he knew the main thing was the main thing, and he kept the main thing. The main thing is knowing Jesus. Better and better and deeper and deeper. And so I'm here to tell you something. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us from our spirit into our soul, and get this now, according to little 1 John, into our body. And I want to tell you, that's beautiful. But I want to tell you, we are the ones who have the valve, because God's given us a chooser. We're the ones that have the valve that say yes or no. It's by the direction of your heart. Now, I'm going to back up and say something, and it may aggravate you a little bit, but if you keep listening, you may get blessed. It goes like this. You're just as full of God as you want to be. You're just as full of God as you choose to be. You're just as full of God as you let Him be. Now, I want to tell you, I hope that sets a stage for you to take in what I got to share with you today. And if you listen fast, we'll finish the series today. If you listen slow, I got a couple more in the magazine. A lot of people have been lied to about God. See, that's what the enemy does. And I want to announce something to you. That's what religion does. Religion will lie to people about God. They said, religion says this, and many people believe that God's a no father. N-O, no. That His automatic response is no. And that you've got to work and work and work and try to earn something from God. Or you've got to plead and plead and plead and cry and cry and get loud and sacrifice in order to get something from God. Well, I want to tell you, all that's a lie. Jesus settled this for us. Okay? It's not Old Testament, Old Covenant. It's New Testament, New Covenant. And I want to tell you, Jesus has paid the price for Father's yes. Jesus was Father's yes to you. Your faith is your yes to Him. It's saying yes to Him. I want to tell you, that simplifies a lot. But you practice saying yes to God. And I want to tell you, this is what happens. Hearing the Word of God causes your faith to explode. It's ignited. When I meet with people and they say, well, you know, my faith, I need more faith. I just have to tell them, no. You already got faith. Jesus has given you faith. The Bible says you have a portion of faith, that you have the faith of Jesus Christ on the inside of you. It needs to be ignited and released by your chooser, and it needs to be ignited and released by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Isn't that exciting? Doesn't that make you want to get into the Word? But I want to just tell you this real clearly. No Father, He's not a no Father. He's a yes Father. He has said yes to you by Jesus on the cross. And by Jesus on the cross, He has said yes to all the promises in the Word of God are yours. I'm rushing ahead here. I may say it again, but it may be worth saying again. A lot of people say, well, we're just waiting on God to do something. We're just waiting on God to do something. Just what? No. I want to tell you something. Hey, God's already moved. Jesus came from heaven to earth, to the cross, to hell, back to earth, to heaven, and sits on the throne, and wait, it's not over. And then He sent the Holy Spirit, which He said, I'm sending one just like me to dwell in you. And so I'm telling you, He's already moved. Hey, let me make this clear. We're not waiting on heaven. Heaven's waiting on us. Heaven's waiting on us to say yes. And I want to tell you, you can say yes to God. You say, well, I don't have. No. Jesus has qualified you. You say, well, but I did this. Jesus, the blood of Jesus has erased your sin. I love to say it. I've said it before. I'll probably say it a lot till I get to heaven. One drop. It's hard for me to say it. One drop of that royal blood was more than enough to eradicate, obliterate your sin into nothingness. And not only just yours, but every generation, every creed, every color, every continent, that blood was more than enough. For the first time in the history, the sacrifice was greater than all the sin. And you're free because of Jesus to respond to God. And so when the enemy tells you that it's because of your past, God's not limited by your past. He has to tell you because of this or because of that or because of, hey, listen, he's not limited by your experience. His truth forever reigns. And he can change your life and he can change your circumstances and he's already paid the price for it. Let's learn how to receive it. Are you interested? So he's not a no father. He's not a mad father. A lot of religion, a lot of people want to present God as being mad. No, he's not mad. You say, well, you don't know how bad I messed up this week. Well, you know what? He's already paid for it. You don't have to beg him. He's already said yes from Jesus, from the cross. All of your sin was paid for on the cross, even into eternity future. You say, well, if that's the case, then God's winking at sin. No, he doesn't. No, you, for anyone to say that sin doesn't matter or my sin doesn't affect anybody but me, I want to tell you that's a lie from the liar himself. And I'm here to announce to you, listen to me, it's very, very important, that your sin, for you to choose sin as lifestyle, is to say no to God. And for you to say no to God means you're saying yes to the enemy. And I want to tell you what happens when you say yes to the enemy, you say no to God. This is what happens. You paint a target on your back and you say, darkness, fire away. Now I want to tell you, that's dangerous. I want to tell you what it is. It's destructive. You say, well, it's personal, it's private. No, it's not. It's not private. I want to tell you a little example here. One of my grandsons, little Isaiah, battled through the worst kind of leukemia. The doctor said, our goal, because when Zach asked him, what does it look like for the future? They looked at him, and it was just a few months from Christmas, and they said, our goal is to get him to this next Christmas. That's how bad it was. But I want to tell you, persevering, boy, heaven loves persevering. Believing that, you know what, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. That's the way the Bible puts it. You say, well, let's stay with the Bible. Okay? And let me tell you something. He got to ring the bell three years later. He rung the bell free. You ought to see, man, I got a video of him playing soccer. And I want to tell you that blesses me so much because when all of this hit, I had to seek the Lord for a picture of victory. And that's the picture, the little video of victory that God gave me about my grandson Isaiah was that he was running and laughing and playing soccer. Now I want to tell you, right now I have a granddaughter in Oklahoma that's fighting and winning the battle of leukemia. And so I'm here to tell you, listen to this. There's no one in the world that hates cancer more than Clint and Lauren Bridgman in Oklahoma. There's no one in the world that hates cancer more than Zach and Becky Hall in North Carolina. But I want to tell you, there's no one in the world who loves Isaiah more. No one in the world that loves little Lila more. Are you with me? Now I want to tell you, that shows you God loves you so much. But he hates sin. He doesn't wink at sin. He doesn't belittle sin because he knows that sin is destructive. See, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want to tell you, Jesus said, that's not him. And so don't you dare blame Jesus for stealing, killing, and destroying. That's not Jesus. Jesus said, I've come. He said, that's the thief. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly to the super. Anybody interested in super life? Well, you know that I love Old Testament pictures. And we're going to look at one this morning, and then we're going to get into the... See, I'm not into the message yet. Y'all going to have to listen a little faster. That was just kind of, you know. I love Old Testament pictures. And we're going to look at Caleb's daughter. Now, you know, I preached on Caleb. You know I love Caleb. Boy, God bragged on Caleb. He has a spirit of excellence about him, a spirit of victory about him. But this, I want to tell you, this is where we see that some of the family, godly heritage and heartbeat for God is passed down. Don't you love that? I want to tell you, you can be a transition generation. And so we're going to look at Caleb's daughter. Her name is Aksah. At least that's what I'm calling her. She may get on to me when I get to heaven. Aksah. But I love her because she shows father's heart. Are you ready? Now, New Testament says Old Testament's pictures for us. Okay, so get ready. She went boldly to her father, and we're going to read the scripture. I'm just trying to tell you a little bit so you see it in the Word and you understand. She went boldly to her father, which was not the way of the culture. All right. She went boldly to her father, and he gave her what she asked. Why? Because of his love for her. You say, well, it's not a big deal. It was a big deal, and it's a big deal today because I'm going to show you. It shows father's heart. It blessed him to bless her. And so many people have got the view of God that he's mad or he's sad or that you've got to earn it. But I'm telling you, hey, listen, if you would get a real picture of Father, Jesus came to show us his Father's heart because the religion of that day didn't understand Father's heart. They made him out to be mad and to be cruel and to be mean. And I'm telling you, Jesus came to show the religion of that day and the people of that day, that he was a great, great father and he had a father's heart. And so this shows father's heart. It blessed him to bless her. I want to announce this to you. It blesses God to bless you. He wants and is more excited about blessing you than you are to receive it. Jesus came to show us how big and loving father's heart is toward us. And okay, let's read the word. Judges 1:15. And she said to him, give me a present. Since you have set me in the land of the south, talking about the Negev desert, give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her, get this now, he gave her double what she asked for. That's father's heart. He gave her much more than enough. Somebody say that's like Jesus. I want to tell you, when he fed the 5,000, it was a miracle. And it was an amazing supply right out of heaven. That's why I say it was the best fish tacos ever. And I want to tell you, there was a continual flow of supply. And the supply didn't stop till all the people said calf rope. Which means cowboy term, Texas term means I'm done. When they said, I'm done and I'm full, it's when the supply stopped. And there was baskets left over. Anybody remember that? But I want to tell you, his supply is more than enough. And that was a central thing that Jesus was wanting the disciples to capture, is that he is much more than enough. Not only for bread, but for storms. Okay, that's another message. I want to preach on that too, but here we go. So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. This is for you. God has springs for you. You need to say in your heart right now, God has springs for me. Springs are a picture of God's anointing. John 4:14. This is what Jesus said. Whoever takes a drink of water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become, get this, a spring of water. Welling up, flowing, bubbling, continually within him unto eternal life. And so I'm telling you, you see the picture in the Old Testament? This is what the Lord, his heart is for us, is to give us a spring of water that's continually flowing and bubbling. Somebody say continually. For eternal, forever and ever. Now let me announce to you, God never cuts it off. God doesn't cut it off. Hey, well, my report card ain't good. God don't cut it off. Jesus paid for more than enough. And Jesus paid for the yes supply from God to be continual. This is God's heart. This is what Jesus said. A spring of water flowing and bubbling continually forever and ever and ever. Well, I don't see it. Well, it's not on God's end. It's on our end. Somehow, some way, we've turned the valve. All right, do I have your attention? John 7, listen at this, 37, Jesus. Now on the final, most important day of the feast, Jesus stood. Boy, he cried with a loud voice. I know he did because this was the heart of Father. This was heaven crying out. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me for a drink. Who has a need? Who's suffering? Who's aching? Who's without? Who's lonely? Who's depressed? Let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me. Now that's a bigger word than just a mental thought. It's more than a mental acknowledgement. When the Bible talks about believe, it means all in. Well, we use that in football, all in. But that term means all in. Okay, so get with me on this. It's more than just a mental thought. It's our allegiance to Him. Our allegiance to Him. Wholehearted allegiance, surrender, submission, lordship. Our yes to Him allows, our allegiance to Him allows us to receive His yes supply. Was that too much? I want to tell you, it's very simple. All right, I'm not going deep. I'm just going, trying to be real plain and pointed here. That our yes is our faith toward God, is our yes to Him. And that allows us to receive His supply. Look at this. As the Scripture has said, from His innermost being, that's talking about us. This is normal Christianity. I know sometimes in church life, church people will see somebody that's on fire for the Lord, and they'll say, you know, he's full of the Lord, full of the Spirit of God, and they'll say, well, you know, that's special. No, that's normal. All right, that's normal Christianity. Anything less than the Bible description is subnormal Christianity. I want to tell you, there's a lot more for us to grow in. Is that exciting? Do you hear the Holy Spirit saying inside of you, there's more for you? Well, I want to tell you, let's listen to Him. From His innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Do you see it? He was speaking here of the Spirit, and He was telling them, He was forecasting, He was telling them, He was prophesying, whom those who believed in Him, who trusted Him, had faith in Him, were afterward to receive. He's saying, it's coming. Soon and very soon, let me make an announcement, and it's happened, and it's here, and He never, Scripture says, withdraws His gifts and His callings. He has called every believer into the flow of the Spirit of God. Bubbling spring of the living God, continuously, and He's never changed His mind about it. He won't. He was speaking here of the Spirit. For the Holy Spirit had not been given, and Jesus had not been glorified, raised to honor, but He has now. Now, so let's go back and look at Caleb's daughter, Aksah. And so Caleb gave her more than she asked for. That's Father's heart for you. I want to tell you, there's more Holy Spirit for you than you could ever use in this life. He has given us, look at this, Caleb's daughter, upper springs and lower springs. Do you see that? Boy, what a picture this is. The upper springs are like the Spirit of God coming upon us in power, just like the Old Testament heroes. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, this is the only way they received of the Holy Spirit, was the Holy Spirit coming upon him. As a matter of fact, you'll see Scripture decide, boy, I could go to Samson right now. I'm thinking about Samson. But it would say that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him and he would do great feats. David would describe the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him and he had great victory. Do you understand? That's the way of the Old Testament. We have a better covenant, a better promises, a better relationship with God because of what Jesus has done. That's for us. Oh, we live in a great day. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the people of old looked forward to this day and, oh, they ached for it. Hey, so the upper springs, the Spirit of God coming upon us in power. We need that. That still happens. That's true today. Lower springs represent the Holy Spirit residing in us as believers. Upper springs coming upon, lower springs dwelling within. Beautiful picture. Our personal supply portion guiding us and with us in our daily journey. And the Bible's real clear that He never, ever, ever lets go of us, will not leave us or forsake us. As a matter of fact, the emphasis in Scripture is that He will not relax His hold on us. Boy, that's a beautiful picture. I love them, don't you? And so, it's important for us to not get distracted by the enemy and focus on a disturbance or focus on a lack, focus on a need, focus on what's without, but to focus on the supply. Somebody say amen. The ever-flowing, more than enough supply that Jesus is. And when we esteem Jesus, we disesteem the problems. And the Spirit of the Lord is able to flow in us in His power and anointing. Anointing means the manifestation of the Spirit. And He's designed us for anointings. Because of the better covenant, that's what we get with the blood of Jesus. Holy Spirit power on us. We get the powerful anointing 24/7 dwelling in us. And according to 1 John 2:27, you don't have to look there yet. It's in your notes, but I'm getting there in a hurry. But it says this, that the Holy Spirit will guide us and teach us in all things. Wow, is that something? Now, there's been a couple groups that I had the joy of preaching to that said, well, see, this means that we don't need teachers. No, we need teachers. As a matter of fact, New Testament says that He's given teachers to the body of Christ, given pastors, given evangelists, given prophets, given apostles to the body of Christ, and you know what? As gifts to the body of Christ. And so if God gave men as teachers, as gifts to the body of Christ, that means that we need them too. But here's the deal. It's not coming from man. It's coming from the Spirit of God. So, I'm going to get to that verse in just a minute. Okay, I'm trying not to preach on that yet. Let me give you a little example. And I'm not saying that I operate in this every day. But I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit with you 24/7, He can manifest in wisdom that you don't know. He can manifest in a word of knowledge that you don't know beforehand. He can manifest in power that you weren't walking in just a few minutes before because He resides within us. And when you're walking in the love of God, we're going to get to that, that the power of God can flow through the love of God. And I want to tell you, the power of God or the wisdom of God, the word of knowledge of God can manifest wherever He wants it. Now, that's exciting because you're a minister. Don't you dare look around some of these pastors and say it's their job. No, it's your privilege. We're all called to be ministers. How's your ministry going? Okay, I told you at the start of this series of a time when I was flying out to preach and I was at the airport early. I like to get there early. Some of you already know that. But anyway, I was there early and I was just meditating on the Lord, meditating on where I was going to preach and what I was going to preach. And the Lord whispered to me, let's go. Get up and let's walk. So I get up and I start walking down the little alleyway there in the airport, all kind of little shops, and there's a bar there, and the Lord says, let's go in there. I said, I don't think so. I said, that must not be the Lord. And I said, Lord, if that's You, would You say it again? Because this is kind of going against everywhere. And He said, let's go in there. I said, okay. And I walked in there, and, you know, it's a very small bar, but it was a bar, a few seats. Guy at the end, you could tell he had been there. He was real comfortable in his seat, you understand. And so I walk in and take a seat at the bar. Bartender comes up, what do you have? And I said, I'll have a Dr. Pepper on rocks. And he kind of got a kick out of that. And the guy at the end of the bar, he said, hey, he said, you got to put a little crown in there in order to help you with your troubles. And I said, no, I'm here representing the one who received a crown on his head in order to help somebody that's having trouble in their head. And he looked at me and he said, you don't know a blankety-blank thing about what I'm going through. And I said, he does. And he's here for you. And he said something that wasn't very nice. And when I looked back over at him, see, I didn't tell this part. I was saving it till now. when I looked back over at him, I saw on his forehead, it looked like someone had taken a yellow highlighter. You know what I'm talking about? Yellow highlighter, and wrote on his forehead. And the name was Karen on his forehead. And I said, well, the Lord knows. He said, you fool up. I said, well, who's Karen? And when I said that, it looked like somebody hit him between the eyes. Looked like more like a calf looking at a new gate. I'm telling you, he looked struck, okay? And he kind of got nervous and was looking around. And he said, who all knows? And I said, I don't know, but the Lord knows. And he said, I'm getting my you-know-what out of here, and he did. Now, I'd love to tell you that he prayed and received Christ and got filled with the Spirit, but no. He made an exit. But I want to tell you what it was. And listen, if you're anywhere near a situation like this, I'm saying this to you today. The Lord knows, and he's calling you to himself. And you say, well, it's been a long time, and nobody knows. I want to tell you, what the Bible says is that God doesn't count slackness like men do. The only reason there hasn't been a bringing to the surface of what's going on is that the Lord is courting you by his Spirit back to himself. And he's appealing and courting to you to say yes to him. And he's giving you time to repent. But if you continue to say no to God, then eventually, according to the Bible, he's going to say, okay, you want that? You got it. And he takes the umbrella of protection off in order for you to have a shaking and a waking to get back to him. Okay, now I explained a lot in a hurry there, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. But I want to tell you, the Lord loved this man so much that was in the bar that he asked me to walk in there to give him a word. And you know what? It was another open door opportunity to get his heart back to God. Because when you turn your heart toward God, the kingdom of God is on in your life. Right? Because Jesus paid for it. Okay? Hey, another time. At one time I was doing a lot of counseling. I'm not doing as much now, but I'm doing a lot. But I'm not doing as much as I once were. But at one time, they were back to back to back on a couple particular days. And on this particular day, I'd finished up, and it was just a few minutes before the next couple got there. And my personal assistant came in and said, you got about 5 minutes. And I said, okay. And so I was just sitting there. I was drinking a little water, meditating on the Lord. And the Lord told me personally, he said, this is what their problem is, and this is what the answer is. I said, okay. And so when they came in, because normally what I do is listen. And I want to tell you, if you're doing any counseling and you're not using the Word of God, you're not counseling. The answer and the power, the dynamite power is in the Word of God to change lives. You can hug them and sympathize with them and all that, and you get out the door, they get down the street, it's all over with. Excuse me. I don't need to go there. But I want to tell you, when they came in and sat down, I said, look, I normally listen to a situation, but the Lord's already told me what your problem is and what the answer is, so I'm just going to tell you. And I told them what their problem was and what the answer was. And it only took just a few minutes. Prayed for them. They were out the door. Later on, a wife contacted me and she said, I got to tell you the story. She said, you were right on with the Lord, because on the way over there, the guy said, it ain't no way that this preacher is going to know what our problem's all about, and you can't tell him. And even if he does figure it out, he ain't going to have an answer for it. And so I want to tell you, that wasn't on me, was it? That was on the Lord. But this is what I'm saying, is that the Holy Spirit can give you direction and to give you guidance in a situation that you don't know, because he knows. And all you are, all I am, is a vessel. And I want to tell you what makes a difference, is a vessel saying yes. One more. Oh, my goodness. Okay, a little faster. One more. There's going to be another part of this series. Okay, rejoice in faith now, okay. I was asked to come visit a couple, and they were on strike. One salary, on strike. They were in need. I was headed over to their house, and on the way over, the Lord spoke to me and said, let's go in the store and get a big pack of toilet paper. I said, man, I'm trying to learn how to hear God, and I don't see this in Scripture anywhere, okay? Not even in 3 Timothy, okay, that's a joke. So anyway, I did. I said, okay, Lord. Stopped, went in, bought the biggest, container of toilet paper, and it's in my car, and I get to the place where this couple, and the Lord says, let's take it in. I thought, oh, Lord, I love you, but if I miss on this, okay. So I took that big roll of toilet paper, walked up to the door, knocked on the door, and he opened the door. When he opened the door, he's a tough guy, He opened the door, he started crying. And he said, I know you must have heard from God. He said, because this was just very private this morning here. My wife woke up and we didn't have any toilet paper. And she was crying out to God and upset and discouraged because she couldn't even receive from God toilet paper. And he said, I felt so guilty because I'm supposed to be this provider. And so he takes that big roll of toilet paper and walks in there to her. Now, I just got to tell you something. That was a sweet Jesus meeting that day. Now, I want to tell you, is that because, well, you've been walking with the Lord 40-something years and you've preached all over the country and, you just got a lot of... No! I was a teenager. Learning. Now, I want to tell you, right now, I'm learning. You know what it is? It's a lifetime of learning. Okay, I've just given you a few examples. Okay, so let's look at Luke chapter 11, and we start with verse 9. So I say to you, this is Jesus, he's speaking to us. Would you hear the words of Jesus? Would you let the Holy Spirit apply this to where you are right now? Ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given to you. Now I want to tell you, Jesus told us that we have not because we ask not. Maybe you used to ask, but you're not asking anymore. Well, that's not what the Word says. You see, if you're discouraged, you got to get your focus on the Lord. And off of what hasn't happened, but on what He does do. What He is saying. And that's where hope comes from. And hope comes before faith. And when hope comes, the Holy Spirit will paint a picture on the inside of your screen, okay? That imagination room that God gave you, He'll paint a picture on there, or He'll put a word on there of what your victory looks like. And hope comes before faith. And so He gives you the hope of what He wants to do, and then He gives you the yes to it, and this enables you to receive from the kingdom of God. It's not earning it, it's unearned. It's not deserving it, it's undeserved. It's not being good enough, it's unmerited. It's by grace, through faith. Ask and keep on asking, it shall be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall open to you. Sometimes I meet with people, even pastors, and they say, well, I've done that. And I say, are you doing it now? No. Let's get back. Get back to the flow of God and let God be God. For everyone. No, wait. Does that mean everyone? Do you think when Jesus said everyone, He means you? Everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. Now I want to tell you what this is describing. It's describing a way of life. Wait. It's not just going to church and feeling a spiritual move or a chill bump run up down your spine because of a song. No. This is talking about a way of life. Yeah, let me tell you what it is. It's humility. Humility. You know what humility is? If you'll catch this, it'll change your walk. Humility is depending on God. You're depending on the Lord. I don't care. You may go to a doctor, but you need to be depending on the Lord when you go to the doctor. You may take medicine. It's okay. Hey, but if you're taking medicine, you need to take medicine depending on the Lord. All right? And humility is a way of life. It's a continual heart toward God of depending. Lord, I'm depending and trusting and needing you. Surrender. Submission. Do you understand? So, it's a lean on It's a learning, seeking, believing, continual asking and receiving. You see, it's a way of life. It's not just to get something to happen so you can get on with your own life. If you ask that way, according to the Bible, you ask amiss. I want to tell you the greatest thing is to ask for the Lord's honor and glory. Because I want to tell you, when you do it for Him, it takes away that self-benefit, self-centeredness, takes it out. But I want to tell you what His promise is, because it's for you too. I want to tell you, He has promised to take every event and circumstance that comes into your life. Did you say every? I've said every. Every event and circumstance. And work it out. Work it out as you're cooperating, as you're walking, as you're asking and receiving and applying. Well, I know I love the term, the truth will set you free, but it's the truth applied that sets you free. Come on. Okay, hey. Continue. And when you, as a way of life, are seeking and asking, your heart is in a position to receive. And the first thing that we got to receive is of the love of God. Okay, I've got just a few minutes, so let's cover a little ground here. Let's see what Jesus described as the Father looking like. What father among you, if his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Now, I want to tell you, I want you to see what this is talking about, because over here is a destructive father. On my far left, you just say it's a destructive father. This is a normal human father. And over here is a godlike father. And so Jesus is saying, what father among you, if his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Now that would be a destructive father. And he's saying, even you regular humans, no, I'm not talking about Christian, even you regular humans know how to be a blessing to your kids. If they ask for bread, you're not going to throw a stone at them and say, chew on that, boy. Huh? No. A regular human, if his son asked for bread, we'd give him bread. Okay? If he asked for a fish, are you going to give him a snake? Daddy, I want some fish. A destructive father would throw a rattlesnake at him and say, play with that, boy. No. A regular human, if he asked for a fish, wouldn't give him a snake. But I want to tell you, what he's describing is a father that's much more than a regular human. Somebody say much more. He's a much more God. Much more love. If he asks for an egg, are you going to give him a scorpion? If you then, evil as you are, do you get it? Even a normal human, as evil as you are, you know how to bless your kids and give gifts to them that advantage your children. How much more? Do you see it? Let's give a shout to the much more Father. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, according to his heartbeat, your eye is not seen and ear is not heard all the great blessings that He wants to pour on our life. That's a much more Father. Oh, that ought to do something. Your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask. Now, I know this messes with people's theology, but you keep on asking, you keep on receiving. And I know I've got to preach in a lot of different tags and titles of churches. I'm just going to be real straight with you. A lot of them believe a lot of the same things. They just use different terminology. You don't use our terminology. You don't believe like we do. No. Let's get a little deeper than terminology. I don't care what you call it. I don't care what you name. Just receive. That's the most important thing in your life and in the kingdom, is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And yeah, do you get them when you get saved? You believe you do? Yeah, sure. You absolutely. Is there such thing as an overwhelming or a baptism or a filling of this? You better believe it is. I love what one great man of God said when they cornered him and said, do you have it? He said, what's it? You know, the baptism. And he said, well, it's not an it, it's a person. It's God. Holy Spirit. And they said, well, have you received? And he said, wait, are you saying you've only received one? Overwhelming? Only one baptism? Only one filling? He said, there's much more. You need to go and receive much more. And I want to tell you, according to what this is saying in the Scripture, it's a continual receiving. Is there a continual need? Well, there's a continual receiving. And so whatever you find yourself in need, go running to receive. Because He is the abundant supply. Can somebody say amen to the Lord? He's an abundant supply. Continue to ask. You know, it's like this. It's like if you, when you received Christ, that you were given a car. And it's out there sitting in the driveway. You probably don't know what to do with it if you've never been around automobiles and don't know what to do with it. And you may end up going out and observing it and looking real pretty in the driveway. Well, it's for more than that. You may even come to the place where you sit down in it and say, oh, it's a nice seat. This is a nice place to sit out in a driveway. Well, that's nice, but there's more to it than that. So not only do you have to recognize what the gift is, recognize them, but you have to receive it. And the way you receive of Him is that you take the keys, and the keys have got your name on it. And you take the keys and say, it's not just in my driveway, this is mine. And it's for more of a purpose than just sitting in the driveway and sitting in the seat of. God's designed this for me to travel, to be transported. And it takes more than just recognizing it and receiving it as yours. You got to respond to it. And the responding means that you go out there and put the key in and you turn it on. And I want to tell you, you have access to more power than you have. You can do things that you can't do and go places that you can't go because of the power of the gift, recognizing it, receiving it, and responding to it by putting it into action. Woo! I got so much more. I'm so excited to share with you in the very near future. 2 weeks. Not next Sunday, but the next. We're going to pick up right here. And I got, it's so good. I want to share with you, if you brought your picnic lunch, we would stay a while. But I want to be respectful of this holiday weekend and your time. And we're going to stop right here. But this is what I want to do right now. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. And I want to tell you, we are a people that believe in the laying on of hands. Because that's what the Bible says to do. I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to do this. This is between you and the Lord. One of the most important things is that you recognize that He's in you. I want to announce to you, you already got Him. You already got Him. I want to announce to you, you need to receive Him. You need to receive Him. Now, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to tell you this little story about the early life that I had. I had a mother-in-law. It's not the one you know now, okay? This was with first wife. I had a mother-in-law named Mama, and she got in bad shape. Out of a job, was living with her daughters, the other two daughters. That didn't work out. It was a mess. They spent all of her money, and she had to go. And so she called up our house and said, can I come live with y'all? Because I'm out. I'm done. I'm sick. I'm wore out. I'm in debt. I don't have any money. I don't have a job. And I think at that time she didn't have a car. And we said yes. Of course you say yes. We said yes. So I received her. Listen to this now. I received her into my house. Paid her bills. Fed her. Blessed her. Let her rest. She got a job. Eventually she got a job and everything. But she lived in our house. Now you got to understand, this was a 750 square foot home. Not only did I have a wife and a mother-in-law, but I had two full-time boys. Woohoo! Living in that house. 750 square foot. But I want to tell you something. It was a blessed house. And I want to tell you something. There was times, I'm just going to confess this to you, and I hope you understand. There was times where that I would come home from a day of ministering to people, and I would come home and I'd say, you know, I just need time alone. And I'd tell the wife, I'd say, look, I think I'm just going to camp out in the bedroom. And, y'all get something to eat, bring me something to eat, but I'm just going to camp out there. I'm going to rest. I'm going to go to bed early. And I could hear mother-in-law, mama, because 750 square foot home, I could hear her in there saying, where's he at? When's he coming out? Why is he in there? Why don't he come out and be with us, be with the family? And I was hiding. I'm confessing to you. Even though I invited her into my house, are you listening? I wasn't receiving her that day. And I want to tell you, Holy Spirit spoke to me in a personal way. That's what my people do with my spirit. Holy Spirit's in the house. You see, this is the house. Holy Spirit's in the house, but they're not receiving Holy Spirit. They're not receiving my love, my joy, my peace, my power. They're saying no. They've turned the valve off. They're saying no. If you're not receiving, you're rejecting. And so I'm telling you, you know, the Lord worked in my heart, worked in my life, but worked in my heart about that and gave me a picture that this is what happens to people in the body of Christ. You already have them. Are you receiving them or rejecting? It's important today to say yes. I'm praying for you right now. Would you say yes to the Lord? Would you say yes to the Spirit of God having full reign in your life, letting Him be and do what He wants to be and do in your life? It means surrender. I'm praying for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I just decree an arresting right now. I speak in Jesus' name that there is a precious response of grace to your Lordship, that people on camera and in present building are saying yes to you and no to self-life. And Lord, we say yes to the flow of your Spirit. We say yes to the love and the joy and the peace and the power that you paid for. Lord, we repent. We change our mind. We change our direction. And we turn our heart toward you. And we say, Lord, have your way. Lord, we want to be what you want us to be and do what you want us to do. And Lord, we receive your desire right now by grace. Holy Spirit, come and minister, Father, desire on the heart of the precious people Jesus paid for. And we bless them right now with a fresh touch of desire. And we say yes in Jesus' name. So be it. And all the people said, amen.